Hey everyone, welcome back. We are Live Pal, Andrew Zarian and myself here to talk about all the stuff that's going on in pro wrestling. And Andrew, I don't know if you were aware, I guess everyone's aware, the Tuesday Night War is back. I guess it was the Wednesday Night War previously, but it's the Tuesday Night War is here, I should say.
We're inching day by day to Monday. We're going to get a Monday Night War at some point.
we'll talk about that in heavy detail. We'll go over both of the shows and, kind of give our thoughts on, I have no idea, like, what order to watch stuff in, because there's so much going on right now. The NBA starts back up tonight. There's baseball playoffs. The NLCS starts tonight. The Yankees are playing the Guardians right now, right as we speak.
Right at 4 o'clock, they're playing the Guardians. I'm watching it. My Mets crapped the bed.
Yeah, I felt sorry for you.
Dude, I'm so used to it. It's the Mets. This is what my entire life has been. Growing up in Queens, you are led with promises and you die with disappointment. That's how it always happens here with these Mets. But, it was a great season. I had a lot of fun. And you know what? I'm rooting for the Yankees. They're New York, so you got it. Yeah. But I don't know. It's very interesting how the playoffs have totally changed, right? The Braves are not in it. The Dodgers are out. Looks like the Astros could take
it. The whole thing was, if my team couldn't be in it, whoever beat the Dodgers was like the team that I was rooting for. So I guess I got to root for the Padres now.
Wild,
but,
right?
So we have our very first ad for this show.
Yes, sir.
I'll do a quick ad read here for everybody. We're going to talk about NordVPN. You see, if those watching on video see the graphic there, but for those not watching on video, Andrew, a question for you.
Yes.
Do you ever get frustrated that you cannot watch certain live sports events because they either aren't televised or aren't available in your country?
Yes, actually. And this is not part of the live read, okay? I'm going to derail this for a moment, because this is how I always... I mean, John is our producer here, right? And John has experienced this for 15 years with me, of me derailing a live read. I use NordVPN. I've been a subscriber of NordVPN for years. And I regularly use it to go on Netflix and, just check out content that maybe is not available here. Maybe it's exclusive on another service. But I was looking for a show the other day and I forgot my VPN was on. And I was like, whoa, what is this? What is all these shows that I'm not using? I'm like, when did this get on here? And I realized I had my VPN on and I'm getting, a different viewing point of the service on Netflix. But I absolutely love it. I've used a VPN for like 30 years. NordVPN is a fantastic company. So this is an easy endorsement for me because I actually use it.
There we go. I don't think I have to read any more of the prepared language that I had. Like, there's no better advertisement than Andrew Zarian saying that he's been a customer for all these years. So let's just get to the good part, which is grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to, as you can, folks on video can see this, nordvpn.com/F4W. You get a huge discount off the plan plus 4 months free, and it is completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So there you go. First, I don't think the first ad read could have gone any better than it did, because Andrew is a customer. So
I am a customer. Yeah, legitimately. It's funny because a lot of the ads that we have on, on Mat Men and everything else that I've done, they're actually services that I use. I am the worst person to do live reads because I turn down stuff constantly to the point that it becomes a detriment, because I hate to talk about stuff that I don't like or I don't use. I'm not going to sit here and BS people.
Right.
We had a big, this is years ago. I know I derailed this, but we had a big lucrative ad for a company years and years ago. Right. And John knows the story. I turned it down and everybody looked at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, I could never talk about this, because I don't use these products and it's going to come off so disingenuous that I don't feel comfortable doing. I did not do the live read and I gave up a very big deal. Everybody was very mad at me, but that's one of the few things that I have integrity on. I'm not going to sell you something I don't like.
Hey, you know, as somebody who has had to do ad reads before, being part of I have a couple of podcast networks on under Blue Wire, and yeah, you know, sometimes we used to have to do a lot of live ad reads for Roman and there's nothing wrong with those ads. I mean, those ads keep a lot of podcasts going, right? At some point, I think we did get one of the products to kind of test that we could actually speak from experience. But a lot of time you're just reading copy and it's not your copy and it's not something that you've ever tested or used. So it can come off a little inauthentic. So I'm so happy that that you have used this product. So, OK, enough about that. We'll we'll
NordVPN.
Go to the stuff. But NordVPN /F4W. All right. Let's talk about some news first. WWE and AEW. We'll go WWE first because you had a tweet from October 11th, and obviously I was gone. So I was gone all of last week. I haven't been able to talk to you about this, but this was after the Raw rating from last week. You tweeted that USA Network and WWE are both very happy with the direction of Raw. Lesnar returning on the show felt like a make good to many at USA for not having Bray on Raw following the buzz from Extreme Rules. So I was I didn't even reach out to you because I was trying to figure out exactly what to unpack there. But what did they? I'm assuming Raw wanted Bray coming off of the hotness of the angle, right? But they didn't. But then Brock showed up. Was Brock always supposed to be on Raw, or was that part of the make good? Like, what was the scenario here?
No, Brock was scheduled to be on Raw because of the feud with Lashley. There has been this, and I do, you know, my personal opinion, I think USA Network is correct to have this opinion when it first started, right? It did feel heavier on the SmackDown side. That SmackDown was getting a little bit more than they were. But WWE adjusted that as soon as they were made aware. This is going back a year ago, right? I would say, do you remember, Garrett, when we were talking about it? I think it had to have been over a year ago when we first started talking about this.
Yes.
Yeah, it had to have been. But, you know, there are people, you know, when you're on two separate networks that have nothing to do with each other, this stuff happens. I generally hear it more on the USA side. I don't hear it as much on the Fox side because they're very happy with the presentation of the show. Now we're going to, in my opinion, we're going to see less of this. I think the momentum for Raw has shifted. I think a lot of the people at USA, especially the executives, are seeing this. I believe the rating just came out, and this is true. It's a very big number once again for Raw.
Which is amazing because you watch that show and, you know, Brock being on it, but they essentially did the same thing as they did last week. And there was nothing else really big. So
dude, that's kudos to them. 1.8 million with a 0.50 in the demo. Astronomical numbers for them. Talking about Monday, how competitive Monday nights are between football.
Yes.
There was baseball on Monday. There's everything else happening on Monday. I know it's a decrease, but they're hanging on to 1.8 million. This is a company that a year and a half ago, people were scrambling to determine if they'll be hitting, you know, if AEW is going to catch up in the ratings, how close they're going to get. You know, we have seen a change. You know, I watched last night's show. That Brock moment was tremendous, which we'll talk about, but I would say it felt more like the same old Raw last night. It's less to do with the overall, you know, everything is a home run. It has more to do with the perception of what you're getting, and I think that's half the battle here, right? If something is perceived as different, if something is perceived as great, people are going to buy into it.
That's really my take on the scenario. Is as much as we want to think that Triple H is like leading this new and inventive product, it seems to me that he's just undoing a lot of things that Vince did that were unpopular. So in a sense, you could say that, yeah, like you're pleasing your fan base because some of the things that Vince did that the fans didn't like, Triple H is like, okay, well, we can fix that. We can bring those folks back. But I look at this roster on both programs and I'm like, this looks like 2019 before all the crazy cuts that were happening.
Yes.
Like it is very two or three years ago roster, which I don't have a problem with that as long as you can utilize these folks. But, you know, the other thing I think is folks like Braun Strowman, who he's doing a really good job right now. And I think him being away, like the fans missed him a little bit. But he's also going to probably have another shelf life where they're going to have to be like, okay, do we take him away for another 3 months and then bring him back? Some of these
folks...
What
do you do with a guy like him? What do you do with a guy like them? You know, like these are... He's an attraction for sure.
And this is, you know, this is the big concern, I think, for most wrestling fans, which is Bray Wyatt is back. They did the whole campaign, which was so successful, so creative. I loved it. But now he's got to wrestle, right? And the last time he had to wrestle, it wasn't fantastic either. So I hope that even though these decisions to me seem like, oh, let's just undo what Vince did, I do hope, I imagine Triple H has got some sort of plan with Bray Wyatt, or else, you know, this could be all for naught. But yeah, that's a tough one because of the character. And we'll see. Like, it looks like there is a little bit of an evolution of that character, which is a good thing. But there were stuff on Raw yesterday where I was like, ah, gosh, like this felt like something that Vince would do that we'd be really frustrated with, like bringing Ali in that segment with Seth Rollins on Raw. Ali comes in as the babyface to shut up the heel, and nobody responds. And I'm like, yeah, no, why would anyone respond when we've seen what Ali is to that show, which is the most mid-card of mid-carders? And then they have him attack Seth Rollins at the end of the show again, and nobody cared again. So
no one cared,
this poor guy, you know, I would have really built him back up before I did any of that stuff with him.
You know, he's so fascinating to me because, you know, him and Ricochet, I put in the same boat, right? They have a tremendous look, very unique style. I like both of them tremendously, but... You know, like, you got to add more to it. I don't know what they could add more to when it comes to them. You know, is it giving them more mic time and having them, you know, cut better promos? Is it highlighting them in main event scenarios like facing Seth Rollins? I don't know what you do with those guys. You know, the company changed so much. You know, 2016 on, Ricochet would have been the guy that people have said, you know, my God, this guy would be such a big star on WWE TV. And he was probably going to become a big star until, you know, everything kind of slowed down for him for whatever reason. It's, you know, and I don't think AEW, the answer is AEW for Ricochet or Mustafa Ali. I really don't. I think they're on a tremendous program.
They have so many guys in AEW, right?
Yeah, there's already so many guys. So very interesting scenario, but I don't know. I don't know how to present him. What would you do?
So I think what I would have done is I would have had him in a competitive match with a heel who is a little bit higher on the card than he is. And then I would have had him beat that guy. And then I would do the same thing, you know, maybe for 3 weeks in a row, and you have him in an upset. And then, you know, and then maybe during Seth and Riddle, it's Ali who comes out instead of Elias, and so you mix it up in that way. But yeah, you know, that they I'm sure they have a plan. Nothing is ever going to be perfect the way that we all want it to happen. And, you know, we're just Monday morning quarterbacking here. I've never booked pro wrestling in my life, and I don't think I'd be very good at it, actually.
I have, but, and I'm terrible at it. No, I mean,
Catalyst, baby.
I have to tell you, it is far more challenging than what I have.
Can imagine.
I've booked three shows. One of them MJF was on.
There you go.
Which is fascinating. You know, it was a Long Island promotion. It is not easy. It is so complicated to make the right decision. You know, you really have to have that Midas touch, perfect expression, like a Paul Heyman or even a Vince in his prime or a Tony or, you know, Eric in 96. You know, you really have to know what you're doing. I don't know Eric was booking or not. He was running the company, but you really have to have this unbelievable ability to determine not only what you want to do today, but what you're doing in 6 months with this person.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about some AEW news. There was a note, and I saw even Variety pick this up, that Chris Jericho signed a 3-year contract extension. And much like Moxley's extension, he is taking on new roles, serving as a producer and a creative advisor in addition to his in-ring role as the current ROH champion. But, you know, this takes Jericho to, I think, his it would be age 54 at the end of this deal. I do think that with Vince McMahon not in charge, that probably lessened the small chance that Jericho would ever really go back as a wrestler to WWE, because I don't know what his relationship is with Triple H, but I know that, you know, he was a big Vince guy. He'll go back as in the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. He deserves it. But what do you think? Jericho's back? This seems like a layup to me. I know people were thinking like, oh, you know, maybe this means that, you know, their next TV deal is going to be, you know, bigger than we thought because, you know, we're signing this guy to a raise. But Moxley, Jericho, MJF, if you don't re-sign those guys, you might as well throw in the towel. Like, these seems like easy layups to me as far as getting these guys done.
Yeah, I think having a guy like Jericho, not only is he still active, he knows the talent. You know, it's not like he's just showing up. You know, he's very familiar with the talent. He works with the talent. He's wrestling. He's having a match at a Ring of Honor 2016 on tonight, right? Dalton Castle.
Dalton Castle.
It's like, I don't know what happened, man. Something happened. The whole parallel, you know, the universe shifted, and now all of a sudden Ring of Honor is alive with Chris Jericho as the world champion facing Dalton Castle for the title on national television. Listen, Chris Jericho is an asset, not only in the ring for them, not only on television, but he has 30 some odd years of experience that Tony doesn't, and most guys don't. You know, Tony's a smart guy. He knows that he has to lean on guys like him. He knows Moxley is an asset for that locker room. He's a leader to sign him. You know, he has a lot of work to do with, you know, your four guys that you built that company on over the last year are not there right now between the Bucks and Omega. And, you know, obviously we're talking about Ace Steel, one of the biggest draws in that company. But I mean, Omega,
he should come back to come back in wrestling. I think come back Ace as Steel? The biter. Yeah.
How do you not? It's wrestling, right? You must take the most inappropriate of scenarios and make it into something. The chomper.
But give him like giant fake teeth when he comes into the ring.
Fantastic.
See, listen, this is why we don't
bring him back to AEW. Bring him back to AEW and have him with Britt Baker. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Do something like that.
There you go. She's got to fix his teeth.
She's got to fix
his
teeth
sharp.
After he'd been...
Yeah.
File him down.
So also today came out that, I'm cribbing from Joe Courier's report, which I believe there was a Sports Illustrated interview with Tony Khan. A weekly Ring of Honor television series looks closer to reality. And Tony said that there will soon be some great news about weekly ROH shows. He said there will be one more ROH pay-per-view before the end of the year, and ROH plans to follow that up with a weekly show in 2023. So it's sort of news and it's not news at the same time because there's no details. I would imagine, you know, this is with Warner, though it could be like a streaming thing too. What was your take on the idea that we'll be getting an ROH television series sometime in 2023?
Well, Tony's been working on this really hard for a while. I think it's fantastic. I think it's much needed. It was coming. It's just a matter of when. The merger, I'm sure, slowed things down. A lot of key people that were there that were talking to me about Ring of Honor are no longer in that company, are with Discovery Warner Brothers. So, you know, a lot of things change. I don't think people realize how many people between USA Network, Fox, and Warner Media are no longer in those key positions because of many things, right? The media changes constantly, the economy. Mm-hmm. Taking bad risks on content that don't work out. We're seeing these cuts happen. People are shifting positions. They're moving from departments. So I think that Tony has a great relationship with Discovery. I don't think there's any denying or doubt that people shouldn't have doubt that AEW is getting re-signed. All right. That should not exist. But the matter is how much money,
how
many years. Yeah. Is Ring of Honor going to be on Discovery? There's also streaming issues because BR Live, I don't think, is the most appropriate place for AEW.
No, and then they're going to blend they're going to blend the apps, right? Next year sometime, probably HBO Max and Discovery will sort of be one connected app. So
yeah,
we'll see whatever. Gosh, if they take the HBO name off of the app, that's so silly to me, because
that
is like a prestige name there.
I think they are, right? Aren't they taking the HBO name off? That was a rumor.
There have been rumors about it, and then there have been rumors that they won't. But, you know, I guess we won't know until whenever that happens. But, man, HBO to me is such a prestigious name, especially with all those TV shows. Discovery to me means a little bit less, but I know to some people, like, that's their go-to network for reality TV and such. So it might be like the more trendy way to go. But gosh, you got to keep that HBO name, I think.
Yeah, now should they be on? Let me ask you this, Garrett. Do you think Ring of Honor should be on television network? You know, a true TV or a TBS on a Saturday, or do you think they're better? It's a better product to build your streaming service on HBO Max. You know, build your AEW. Let's say, build your AEW live streaming.
I think it really depends, and I think the example would be NXT, right? Because I don't imagine USA is paying a lot of money for NXT to be on Tuesday night. So if they could find a night of the week that there's a spot and they get, you know, a little bit of money for it, I think that would be really more beneficial than a streaming show. But maybe there's only room for a streaming show, and maybe that is a way to, you know, for because like you said, seems like Tony Khan has a pretty good relationship there. In that relationship, though, there's partnership, right? What does this app want to do? Do they want to be, you know, do they want to utilize these streaming only properties to drive subs? And, you know, ROH is going to be a smaller thing. The thing that I would also think about, you know, we mentioned BR Live. I don't like that app at all. But man, if you could put the pay-per-views through some Discovery HBO app, and you know, you have to be a subscriber, 10 bucks a month or whatever it's going to be, and then you can buy your pay-per-views through there. I think that's just way better than BR Live, but who knows? I'm not an expert.
Well, Showtime is doing it now too. Showtime boxing, Showtime. Right? You go to Showtime.com and you order pay-per-views on Showtime's website.
Yeah.
You know, so there is ways to do it. It's just a matter of what to do. The other thing is, what is Ring of Honor's value for TV? You know, are they, listen, they're not a 40 million. I would be shocked, you know, if they got 40 million a year for Ring of Honor television, but what are they valued at? They never really got paid to be on TV. They were on their own provider.
Yep.
For the entirety of that Sinclair run, they've never really made money off of TV. So what is their TV rights like? It's a new property. You know, what did AEW get? AEW got like 48 million when they first started, something like that.
Yeah.
Originally, there was
stuff with the ads. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, they're tremendously profitable, especially for, you know, in the state that they're in right now. But what would Ring of Honor be able to do? What kind of Ring of Honor TV are you going to do? You're going to tape live weekly. You're going to do a 1 month taping. You're going to do bi-weekly. You know, there's a lot of different things you could do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot of stuff for Tony to sort of figure and decide on. Another piece of information came out, which is there was a word about a docuseries that they're going to do. Now, I don't know how, I don't think there's a lot of information about that docuseries that is out there, but that's a pretty interesting thing. And now I don't know if they are going for the Drive to Survive model, the F1 Netflix show, which has meant so much for the F1 TV business. But my worry for a docuseries like that is, you know, it can't be kayfabe, right? Like, we can't do this thing where we're balancing kayfabe versus reality. It's got to be a reality thing, as much as you can do with reality TV or with a docuseries. But I don't want to see stuff like, you know, what we're dealing with now, the Bucks and CM Punk and Kenny. We have no idea what's going on because there's been no communication about it. That is my worry about a docuseries, because I think you want to be as real as possible. And in scenarios, Tony will not pull back the curtain. The MJF situation that we dealt with that I was super frustrated with. Now this Punk and an Elite thing. That's what scares me a little bit about a docuseries, is just his unwillingness to tell the truth on things that it seems like he's, like, at least in the MJF thing, it was more about spoiling a possible storyline or whatever, or giving any information about a storyline. But yeah, so I like the idea, but I also worry about how they would do it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like, how... I cannot imagine it being a real deal, you know, third party documentary. I think it's just going to be like, you know, what WWE does maybe with their, like, the 24-hour series that they do, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. I don't know, but you're obviously not going to get that stuff. And WWE wouldn't do anything with Vince McMahon either. You know, no. I'm sure they were filming some sort of documentary at that time. There are cameras everywhere. You're never going to see or hear anything about that Vince, you know, couple weeks where Vince was still there at the end.
Well, I don't know. Did you read the Observer from Friday, last Friday? There was a little nugget in there because Dave and Brian were both interviewed for the Vince McMahon doc that's going up on Vice. But there was a nugget about the Netflix Vince docuseries, which Dave wrote that Vince himself wanted to tell as much as you can, I guess, the real story of Vince and not the kayfabe story of Vince, which is interesting. But now about what happened, I don't know how much you could tell of that story, but like they're working with Netflix, and I'm not sure if this is the one the Ringer is involved with, maybe, but it seemed like, you know, Vince, at least maybe before what had happened, like he wanted to tell as much of the real Vince story as you could, rather than the WWE version of the Vince story.
Yeah, no, I'm curious to see what happens. What was it? Did you see that? I don't know. Somebody posted that Vince had like a secret email.
So yes, I saw this.
It's now getting redirected. It's failing to send.
Yeah, I saw this note. That's how they knew that Vince was really not there, is because the email wasn't working anymore. I heard that from somebody who's pretty smart about this stuff, but I don't know too many details about it. But yeah, I saw the same thing that you did.
I should have never trusted that email when I got about that TV14 and it said from not Vince McMahon at WWEcorp.com. I should have never listened to that guy.
Yeah. Mince McVan.
Yeah. Well, you know, Trump had that fake publicist for years.
What is that? I don't know that story.
Trump had a fake publicist, but it was him. And this was very well known in New York media for years, where they would get like these scathing emails and letters and, you know, with a fake publicist that he was sending out. Yeah, fantastic. Freaking great.
It makes a lot of sense, right? Like, it's not surprising in any way.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this Tuesday Night War here. Like I said, start of the NBA season. The Yankees and Guardians are going on in the background 3-0 here.
Yankees.
While we're recording, yep, there was a home run involved. And there's also... what was the other thing that was on? Oh, the NLCS, like I mentioned, Phillies and Padres game one, right at the same time, by the way, as the East Coast versions of Dynamite and NXT. And, you know, whatever the normal broadcast early TV season, right? We're only a few weeks into the new TV season. I imagine there's probably some hockey going on as well, new hockey season. So what is the order in which you are going to watch any of this stuff? I'm very interested in, like, how does Dynamite go ahead of NXT? I'm assuming it does. Is there any baseball? Do you have multiple TVs? Like, how are you going to make sure that you catch all that you want to catch?
I have a control room. I have a control room of like 18 screens in front of me. I'm Kevin Dunn in it. Yeah, I have like 18 screens like Kevin Dunn.
You're trying to watch, you know, like
zoom in and out.
yeah, you're watching like Dynamite and it's only on for 3 seconds. Then it cuts to NXT. Then it cuts back to the basketball game. And you're like, I can't watch any of this.
Wait a minute. Did John Moxley just dunk? I'm getting confused. I would love to see that. All of a sudden, I'm switching channels. It's Moxley just going NBA jamming it. Yeah. I'm going to watch Dynamite, obviously. I'll watch Dynamite first. I'll watch, I'll catch. I got to do a show tomorrow morning. So we're doing Mattman in the morning. So
oh, wow.
So I got to watch. Yeah. So
a day early or 2 days early. You guys usually do it Thursday or Friday.
We're doing it Fridays now. We started doing it on Fridays because so much news started coming out on Thursdays. Yeah. So after we would do the show, like big stories would drop. So we just moved it to Friday. Also, NBA, NBA opening night is tonight. So that's playing a big part in everything, too. It's going to be interesting. A lot of content on television. A lot of people are going to have to choose what they want to watch. Luckily, we could DVR and we could watch online. So it's an easy fix. But I'm going to watch Dynamite. And then tomorrow at some point, I'll watch in the morning. I'll watch NXT.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is I will probably watch the first half an hour of Dynamite live. And then I'll cut it off. I'll spend some time with the fam, watch some TV with my wife. And then because at 7 is when the Warriors and Lakers play, I'll probably watch that live because my son and I have a podcast on the Warriors and we're going to live stream to our YouTube page at that point. So I love that you guys do that, by the way.
It's fun. That's so cool.
Fun.
Yeah.
See, he doesn't realize that doing this podcast and then when I jump on like the PS5 with the headsets and stuff, it's literally just to keep an eye on him, really, right?
Yeah, I know what he's doing. Is the Garrett Gonzalez of the Wrestling Observer newsletter?
They've known Dave and Brian's voice pretty much their entire life. Like,
amazing.
My youngest, when he was like 5 years old, he used to do the Brian voice, right? How's it going? He would do the whole thing. He would just do it.
I do it now
randomly.
As an adult. I do it every Sunday. You can't not do it.
What I'll probably have to do is after I do that live stream on the Warriors, I'll probably have to cut back to Dynamite and watch some. Leave some for tomorrow. I'll catch NXT because the Fight Game podcast that we do on Wednesday night, we cover Dynamite like we watch that thing with a magnifying glass. And we're also going to talk a little bit about NXT, which I haven't watched since, it's been probably like 4 months since I've watched NXT. So I'll have to check up on that before we do our podcast. But
it's
going to be...
Did you ever watch NXT live? Did you ever watch it like when it was out? Like even when they were on the network, I would binge it. I would watch like three episodes and then I would watch another one and then I would be caught up. I could never watch it weekly.
Like I never watched it live. I always watched it the next morning when I was doing stuff just because it was just much easier for me to do it that way for my own process of things. But if things happened on that show, right? If there was actually news coming out of that show, then you would make it a point to watch it live. But there never really is. You know, there's never really any news coming out of that show. So you're just like, oh, it's just content. And sometimes it could be really good content. Sometimes it could be really bad content. But do you know who's going to be on NXT tonight? None other than Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens, Rhea Ripley, right?
Rhea Ripley, Raquel coming back.
Raquel, yeah. So they're stacking the show.
So Kevin Owens will moderate a segment with NXT champion Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov, and JD McDonagh. So I wonder if that breaks down into some sort of tag team match. I'm not sure who gets split up with who, but that would be kind of fun if that's your main event. Kevin Owens, who was one of the best NXT champions, right? Yeah. One of the best talents there that they ever had. He was really overqualified to be there. There's a little bit of a theme here, which in the folks that they're bringing back were all big time NXT folks. Rhea Ripley was fantastic. She kind of grew up in front of our own eyes on NXT, and now she's absolutely one of my favorite TV characters.
The Good Brothers are on the show too.
Oh, Good Brothers and AJ, right?
Yeah. Totally forgot about that. It's a stacked show. I mean, it's a very competitive show. You know, it's going to be very competitive.
And Core Jade and Raquel. I was more of a Raquel fan than a lot of people were, just because I saw her as kind of larger than life. Obviously, Mexican-American. And now as the babyface Raquel, you know, she's doing a lot of smiling, but she's still got something there that I hope that she kind of, you know, really, really grows into and could, like, because I see Rhea and I'm like, man, Rhea has really, really taken to this thing. Obviously, Rhea being a heel, probably a little bit easier with her, you know, her and Dom. But yeah, I like the fact that they're bringing back successful acts to this show as they're like the best alumnus, best alumni, right? Like the class president's coming to the reunion. So the Schism, which is Joe Gacy, Rip Fowler, and Jagger Reed, face Cameron Grimes and Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Does that mean that AJ is not coming?
I think it was the Good Brothers. I don't know. I don't remember.
It AJ. Just says the Good Brothers.
Okay, maybe it is.
Sonya Deville will also be on this show. My favorite NXT wrestler, even more so than Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes. He and Trick Williams face Wesley and Mensa. And yeah, it should be a really fun show. Alba Fire, Sonya Deville, like I said, and then Channing Stacks Lorenzo against opponent of Tony D'Angelo's choosing. So that is
a lot of new names,
your NXT
right?
lineup. Yeah. I've never seen some of these folks before in my 4-month break from NXT.
Well, all right. This NXT though, Garrett, it is closer. We say this all the time. It's closer to the original concept of NXT than it was in like 2016.
Yes. Yes.
You know, this was the original vision for this company. You have a couple names that people recognize, and the rest is all, you know, young up and coming talent that you create on your own. But if someone is available, you'll grab them. You're not going to turn, you know, you're not going to say no. But I mean, I have this poster behind me, and every single one of the people on this card from 2016 is a well-known wrestler prior to coming to NXT. So it's fascinating, the shift back.
Yeah, I think the days are over of an Adam Cole showing up in NXT, right? Because with AEW, anytime someone like that would become available, they will be on the radar of AEW. And so you're not going to get these indie stars who, like, again, they're overqualified for NXT, like Kevin Owens. And a lot of these guys are overqualified for NXT. They showed up because there wasn't an AEW. There was maybe an ROH, but you're probably signing with WWE, even if you do go to NXT, over an ROH, over an Impact. But now with AEW, like, we see the thing with Bandido, right? If WWE was hot on Bandido and there was no AEW as the competition, he'd show up this weekend at Halloween Havoc in the crowd next to Stephanie McMahon. Like, that's what he would do. You know, that's what they would do on these takeover shows, right? So yeah, and also Halloween Havoc is this Saturday. You know why I know it's this Saturday? And this is the only way I know, because like I said, I don't watch NXT. But Dave Meltzer's birthday is this weekend.
Is it really?
And we were all going to go out to dinner on Saturday night. And then we got the word that the date had to change to Friday. Why? Dave has to watch NXT Halloween Havoc. And also there's a UFC show during the day. So he's pretty busy on that Saturday. No,
there's no stopping Dave. Birthdays don't matter. He's here for you guys, really. He's been doing it for so long. The dedication. I mean, you have more insight than me on his process. But my God, like I've seen his process. It's impressive to be able to do this consistently for this long.
Yeah, he's just, as long as you know what's coming on, right? Like, they've had Halloween Havoc on the books now for a little while, so he kind of can figure out, okay, what is my one and a half free days? Well, it's going to be Friday evening, and then it's probably going to be Sunday where, you know, he'll go hang with the kids and such. But all right, so what's on this Dynamite show? We have the aforementioned Chris Jericho versus Dalton Castle. What do you think about these ROH matches against these, you know, these old these ROH alumni that Jericho's running through, Dalton Castle. When I was watching ROH, and I was mostly just watching pay-per-views, like I always found him to be such an entertaining act, but I don't know if he necessarily fits. Yeah, I don't know if he fits what they're looking for here on this Dynamite show. He's only been on TV, like, from what I remember, like two times. He was in a battle royal on Rampage, and I want to say he was on one other time. So he's kind of like a new act to some of this audience. So I'm not sure how much impact this match is actually going to have, Jericho running through the ROH guys.
I think, you know, this has been the point that you and I both have said. If you're utilizing ROH talent on television, it shouldn't just be a, hey, we got to fill in a spot. It should matter because you're building to an ROH TV show. Now I kind of understand it and it kind of makes sense that, okay, they're going to have Jericho defending against ROH people because they're getting a TV deal and it's going to lead to a pay-per-view. And they have to build that brand. But, you know, 3 months, it was like prior to the pay-per-view, I was very much against having the ROH stuff take over the TV show. But now you kind of have to fill in the blank because you don't have the Bucks. You don't have Punk. You don't have Omega. Right. So you have to do something a little different. And that's put the title on Chris Jericho and have him be the ROH champion and build that brand because you're getting a TV show. I go back and forth on it. Like, is it too much ROH? Yeah, I think it was at one point, but they also have a TV deal, and ROH is most likely going to be a Warner property because I don't think Discovery would want, now that we know that deal's coming, how does Discovery feel that you're giving so much time to another property, possibly a competing property?
Sure.
On another channel, it's going to be internal, so it makes sense now. But I know what.
I'll use your word.
Yeah,
I love this word now because you use it a lot, which is called
optics.
Optics. Right. The optics
WWE
would be
term.
The this optics would be
by
bad.
A WWE person
would be bad if AEW is giving so much exposure to ROH, and then ROH ends up somewhere else. Right. That would be bad optics and bad for their partnership. So,
well, it was a Cody deal, right? That's when the optic battle, the war of optics started, is the Cody acquisition. And that was what was said. He said, and this was a very interesting, you know, in talking to them, it is very different. It's a very different sport brand. They don't really operate like a sports brand. They don't operate as a media brand. They're their own entity. But when the Cody thing was happening, it was a victory for them. And they said, it doesn't make, listen, at the end of the day, it's all about the optics and its perception.
Mm-hmm.
If you are perceived as winning, you are winning. It doesn't even matter if you're not. It doesn't matter if it's close. But if people perceive you as the better one or the bigger brand, you will always be that brand. So the optics matter. And it stuck with me. You know, they're like, how does it look for Cody coming? And he goes, if it was anybody else, it wouldn't, you know, yeah, it's great. We got a big name from AEW, but not only did we get a big name, we got the guy that left us.
Yeah.
We got an EVP, we got someone that really stands out in that company. We won that optic battle. And I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? It makes a lot of sense. It is a battle of optics.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we had an eyeglass company ad right now, Garrett, it would have been perfect for like Waverly Parker or one of like a Pearl Vision.
Yeah. Whoever's looking to advertise, if you want to, we'll just talk about optics for 5 minutes and do the brand. Okay, so what else is on this show? We're going to get an MJF promo. Renee Paquette is going to interview Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta. What did you think of her coming in, them signing her to come in?
Say that again. You broke up the entire time.
Renee Paquette.
Oh, Renee. Yay. Fantastic. I love her. She's great. I'm happy that she's there. We heard the story that WWE wanted her. She didn't want to go back, but I guess she was sitting out that deal, whatever that deal was, right? Because she was letting it expire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I had heard too, which is the reason WWE thought that she was going to do the job with AEW is because she turned them down. So that's what I had heard.
Good for her. I hope they utilize her really well. She's super talented. Back in the TSNs, she was very, like, within media, She was very well known as like, okay, she's going to be the sports center person. She's going to be that person on ESPN. That was the path for her. But she went in wrestling and, you know, it's worked out for her.
Yeah, I would have assumed she would be doing something on ESPN or TNT with hockey by now. But she's back in wrestling and it's probably easier. She and John can kind of travel together and probably bring the baby, you know, wherever they want. And that probably makes their road life a lot easier by doing it that way. Okay, what else do we got here? MJF promo, I think I said that. AEW Trios Champions, Death Triangle against Orange Cassidy and Best Friends. Man, Orange Cassidy is going to be a big time thorn in Pac's side if he takes both of those titles. We also have Toni Storm, the interim women's champion, defending against Hikaru Shida. And then in the main event, John Moxley against Hangman Page. This is in Moxley's hometown. And, you know, it's so funny because originally, I think what was going to happen was Moxley was going to do some sort of contract signing thing on this show in Cincinnati after going away for a little while, but he never went away because of all the things that happened. So now it's a title match with Hangman Page.
Oh, wait a minute. What was he supposed to do? Oh, that's interesting. Hold on.
Dave wrote this. I had sort of heard some stuff, but then Dave wrote it. So, you know, we can talk about it, but I think originally he was going to go away and then this was going to be his comeback show after taking the break off. And this is where
it was like
a
6 week break, right?
Yeah. This is where he was going to re-sign and be like, you know, that AEW for life guy, but plans changed and he had to stick around. But yeah, I think that was the original idea. So instead we get a match, Hangman and Moxley. I'm guessing it's going to be the main event, unless it's Jericho and Dalton Castle in the main event. I'm hoping it's
maybe that's
Hangman and Moxley.
Yeah, it has to be Hangman. But okay, here's the thing though, right? Hangman loses again.
Yeah, I know.
Like we say that for Danielson a lot, right? Like, oh, great, he lost again. But like, yeah, Danielson is established. He could lose more. I don't like to see Danielson lose because he's, you know, somebody, I think we said on the show or somebody asked me on Mattman, he's my favorite wrestler currently.
Like me too.
This era, there's nobody that comes close to Danielson for me. I mean, obviously, there's plenty. I love Kenny. Depending on the year, Kenny was my favorite wrestler. But, you know, overall, Danielson is like, that's my style that I enjoy.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Top to bottom, that is the style of wrestling that I like to watch. But he is established. He is a former world champion. He has, you know, he's been built to be able to lose. I get worried with Hangman because, to be honest, that Punk stuff took a lot out of it for a lot of people. I get the feedback. I see the messages. And this isn't just my opinion. This is a lot of people. The Punk stuff really took the wind out of how I felt about Hangman. Not because he did anything wrong. It was just, I felt like it was so unjustified and it was so shitty and it just came off really bad and he hasn't really been dominating.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same Hangman of like a year ago. So you have him lose again to Moxley. You do a schmoz. You have MJF intervene. Like, what do you do to make Hangman look really good? Does Hangman win in Cincinnati?
He becomes the biggest heel in the building if he beats Moxley and Cincinnati. I agree with you. But this is the difference in AEW versus WWE in that they don't like doing DQs. They don't like doing countouts. They don't like doing finishes that make the crowd feel like they are getting ripped off, right? Like that is just not what they do. So
yeah.
If you don't do that, then you have to beat the people who are, you know, who are the challengers. And that is Hangman. Could they have found someone else to be here instead of Hangman? And then they can rebuild Hangman up. Or like you said, maybe there's something else that, you know, maybe we do get a disqualification for once. I don't know. But you know what I learned? So I'll tell this story here. I was actually going to tell Dave when Dave and I talk. But when I was in... So I was in Rochester over the week. I was in Syracuse and then, you know, Rochester. And I was talking to some wrestling fans at a wedding my brother-in-law's wedding, and I had learned that some people believe CM Punk and the Elite was a work. And I was like gobsmacked, mostly because I'm just so close to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then I started to put two and two together. If Tony Khan hasn't really said anything, you could imagine somebody thinking it was a work, right? You're like, oh, yeah.
Tons
like,
of people.
Yeah, like they, it's part of the story. Like we're going to get some end of the story and they're going to come back anyways at some point. So that will make people think, oh, yeah, it was work. But I was just gobsmacked. I was like, wow, people really do think that this whole thing is a work and it's all because of the communication around it.
Yeah, it's some work. He's hurting his own TV.
I know.
In a contract year situation.
But think about this. He did the same thing with MJF just 5 months ago. And that was a work, right?
Well, was it?
I mean, it may not have been like 100%. Not 100%, but yeah. They put it into their storyline.
Yeah. They took something and they made it.
The end result is the current work that we have. But if you were watching AWTV and you saw MJF off of TV until All Out, you're like, oh, they're just doing the same thing that they did with MJF with Punk and the Elite. I could totally see how a more casual, maybe non-internet wrestling fan could see that it was a work.
Do you think those wrestling news groups are going wild with speculating on who jumped ship like it's 1997 again?
I shouldn't have even said anything because you know what's going to happen. One of the blogs is going to have Andrew Zarian says that CM Punk and the Elite is a work.
I you know what? I was so careful to not say it because there were a couple of conversations like we're doing the show, right? And then I'm like, yeah. And I kept pointing. I'm like, listen, it's not a work. I could tell you it's not a work for sure. And that was always my point. You don't hurt your television. You don't hurt your perception as a company and as a boss to make this all work in wrestling. But I personally was hoping it's a work.
Yeah,
because I want to see all those guys wrestle. I want to see CM Punk wrestle. I want to see Kenny Omega wrestle. I want to see Kenny Omega and CM Punk. Think of all those matches we never got. We never got Danielson and Punk. And I said that from day one. You need to get those matches out of the way. Punk got hurt. Punk got hurt again now. Punk, you know, lost his mind. He stuffed his face with muffins. That's the end result. That is the final. Imagine that is the final image of CM Punk that we get in wrestling.
That's not a good look if it is. I would hope that isn't it, right? You would hope that he doesn't want that to be it too as well. Okay, we got a couple minutes here before Lance yells at us. If you were, we talked about, I don't think I'd be a very good booker, but if you were putting together this Jericho ROH storyline, and let's say there is TV coming soon, and this whole storyline is Jericho running through the ROH alumni, who's the end boss that beats Jericho, maybe at the pay-per-view or maybe on one of the first few weeks of television or whatever, to cement themselves as the guy in ROH? Who would that be?
I don't know how they can make it make sense, but I still think it should be Danielson. I think for that very initial first run of TV there, it should be Danielson, and he could drop it to someone. I don't know. That's a great question. Do you give it to a new talent? Who beats Jericho?
I mean,
enough to carry a TV show.
They could, but there are a lot of ROH alumni who could be the guy right now. Adam Cole is currently injured. But Adam Cole as your ROH champion is not a bad thing, right? He's a star. He's been away for a while. I think he still has a ton of value with that fan base. I think he's like a 3-time ROH champion, actually. Maybe it's I know they already did the match, but Bandito also a former ROH champion. Jay Lethal, former ROH champion. So there are guys there who you could do this. The one that stands out to me, but he may be a little bit long in the tooth to be the guy, which is Samoa Joe. Like he was my favorite ROH champion. So there are some
possibilities
there. What if it's
Daniel Garcia? What if Daniel Garcia?
Could you Could you main event a TV show with Daniel Garcia as your champion, though?
Can you main event a TV show with Daniel Garcia as your champion? I don't know. You're gonna need to really make it strong.
Yeah, agreed.
You know,
agreed.
I think Jericho's part of that piece, but I don't know beyond. You know, who could run? And what's your expectation? Again, what are we expecting here? With viewers, yeah. What are we expecting with everything? I think that's all going to play a big part. I think Jericho having a title is a great thing to bring the eyeballs, but who beats him? Fantastic question.
Yeah, I would, if Cole is coming back sooner than later, right? We haven't heard, also haven't heard anything about him other than just the fact that he's, you know, still doing his Twitch stuff. But I would have it be Cole. And I would also have him, I wouldn't have a lot of the ROH guys cross over, but I might have their champ crossover because he could be intertwined with the Elite and with those storylines as well. So I would have him roam a little bit, but I wouldn't have a lot of other guys roam between ROH and AEW.
We got like a minute, but
yeah,
you know, that roster on AEW is so big, like
yeah,
astronomically big. And you have guys like, you know, big cast there. What are you doing with him? Okay, what are you doing with him? He's a bodyguard for who? For what is he doing? This guy was on WWE TV. He was in a really hot act.
Yeah.
He has a redemption story for sure. You know, the guy changed his life. I'm also a little biased because he's from my neighborhood and he went to Holy Cross. Archbishop Malloy, I believe, and he played basketball for them. I would think, you know, you would want to utilize a guy like him as much as you can, but because of that roster, he's lost in the shuffle. He's on AEW Dark.
Yeah.
Who's the other one that WWE released and they picked up? The one that was like a Brock Lesnar, mini Brock.
Yeah, Parker Boudreaux.
Parker Boudreaux. What is he doing?
Hanging out, man. He's just hanging out.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem. And, you know, we don't have the time to talk about this, but we should probably talk about it maybe even the next time we do this, but yeah, let's get out of here so we don't get in trouble. But
Lance is gonna yell at us.
Yeah, it may have already happened. I haven't checked my Twitter DMs yet. Okay, so thanks everyone for checking us out. We'll be back next week, crossing fingers that nothing happens to either of us. But for Andrew Zarian, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.